Forgiveness this morning for my sins, for our sins, Lord, that if there's anything here this morning that's hindering you, hindering your spirit, may we confess it right now, repent of it, and turn from it, Lord, and cry out to you this morning. May you meet with us in this place. May your presence, your Holy Spirit, be so strong in this place, Lord, that you would just impact each and every one of us. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. What I want to talk to you guys about this morning, the title of the message is Desperate. I don't know how many of you have ever been in desperate circumstances, but when you're in a desperate circumstance, your attitude changes, your focus changes. Some of y'all know that was last Sunday morning in Sunday school. I requested prayer for my uncle. He woke up last Saturday, and I shouldn't say woke up. He was down in his basement last Saturday, and he come stumbling up the stairs and couldn't even talk and was shaking severely. His wife called 911. They took him to the hospital, and they did a brain scan. They said that he'd had multiple strokes, and he was placed on life support, and they didn't think he was going to make it. And Sunday night, we had just dismissed as my dad got a phone call, and it was his sister calling. And so we were about to leave, and everybody stopped, and we come up, and we gathered, and we prayed for him, and they were trying to make the determination on whether to take him off life support or not. And his wife was desperate. And Monday, the heart doctor comes in and they check his heart. They said his heart's fine. His fever broke. He starts responding. Tuesday, he comes off life support. He's talking. God did a miracle, y'all. God did a miracle. He went from not making it to, has he gone home yet, Dad? I hadn't heard any updates. He's at rehab. But he went from not even going to make it to God touching him. And it just made me think, you know, when we're in desperate circumstances, when we're in desperate situations, how we cry out to God. And this week, I've had a busy week. I've had a lot on my mind. We had our class reunion and everything. And Friday, I had taken a half a vacation day, and I almost canceled. It was for my class reunion, but I didn't know what I was going to preach about. And I thought, well, even though things changed, I could have stayed and worked. And I thought, I need to go home and just study and get ready for Sunday. And I sat down, and I opened up my Bible, and I was getting nothing. And I was just reading and going, and you know, in my mind, I'm going, God, you've never failed me, you've never let me down, but I'm lost right now. I don't know what to preach about. I don't know, because if any of y'all's ever prepared a sermon, it's not just like I'm opening up and going, okay, I'm going to talk about this story, let's go talk about it. That's not the way that I work. I have to, it has to be the Lord telling me, I feel, you know? And so the word desperate came to my mind. God, I'm desperate for you right now. For a sermon, I'm desperate. Psalms 42, 1 and 2 says, as a deer panteth for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? You know, we sing a song, as a deer panteth for the water, and that's where it's coming from, is these verses right here. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking of how desperate am I for God. Yeah, when I need a sermon, I'm desperate. For my uncle, who they're giving no hope, I'm desperate. But in my day-to-day life, am I really desperate for God? Can I ask you this morning, how desperate are you for God each and every moment of every day in your life to hear His voice, to have His guidance, to have His direction? Psalm 63:1 says, O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And when I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about thirsting and crying out for God, and earnestly I seek You, and I think, does that really describe my life? Honestly, is each and every day a day that I'm thirsting for God, that I'm seeking God? I'd like to say yes. But then I'm easily distracted. I don't know if y'all are. I'm easily distracted. I'm like, you know, and all at once half the day's gone, and I'm not really listening for the Lord. And then I get in a rough spot. I get in a rough situation, or somebody will come to my mind, and then all at once I'll pray for them, or I'll pray for God's direction. I'll pray for God's guidance. A temptation hits me, and all at once, well, then I'm desperate. God, help me. Help me that I don't fall. Help me that I don't give in. But earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. And I hear these words, and I think about, like, times that I've been really thirsty. Have y'all ever been really thirsty? When I used to play football, you were a wimp to get a drink. Things have changed a lot. And I remember running laps and you know, football practice, hours of football practice, and we practiced down there behind the bus garage, and it was well water, and they had these plastic tubes that came up and did this, and they drilled holes in them, and there was a little bitty thing of water just barely bubbling up, and coach would finally say, go get a drink, and then, and everybody's over there, and we look like it's barely even coming up, and it's this nasty well water, but it didn't matter. It was wet and it was cold, and I was so thirsty. I was drinking it. I was desperate for it. And I just wonder how many of us feel that for God in our life. God, I'm so thirsty for You. I need You so much. If you want to open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, we're going to be reading several verses right here. I'm thirsty. I got the big cup today. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at His feet and pleaded earnestly with Him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put Your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. I think about that, and I think about a sick child, and I think about how it feels when your child is sick, and you're just so desperate. If you've ever had a child that had a severe fever, or they've been in the hospital, or just something, and the desperation that you feel as a parent of God, help my child, you know, and whatever means that you know, you're trying to think, you're trying to pray, you're pleading, and maybe you've experienced that, maybe you haven't, but oh, it's terrible to have something wrong with your child and you feel that pain, maybe even more than they do, and the hurt, and you're just so desperate. And here Jairus was desperate. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Here's another desperate person there by Jesus, and it says she'd spent all she had, she'd done everything, but what happened? She got worse. She wasn't getting any better. Maybe you've been there and with a sickness or with a pain, with a hurt of some kind, and it seems like you've prayed, you've done, and things just keep getting worse and worse and worse, and you're getting desperate. That's where she was. You know what else? This kind of a side note. There's desperate people all around us every day for something. Are we seeing that? Anyway, verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. I've preached on this before, that the crowds, that they're pushing up against him and everything, but only one got their healing, and it was a woman that was desperate. It was a woman whose faith was there. But this woman was at the point of, if Jesus can't help, then I don't know what else to do. But she had the faith that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, one of the Gospels says, if I could just touch him, I know I would be healed. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." You know, I don't know. I think I've probably been as desperate as this woman when I knew I was lost and I needed a Savior. But other than that, I've been desperate in my life, but I don't know if I've ever been to this point. I mean, honestly. And I think about this, and I think about how many of us come to church every Sunday, and we're at peace on the outside, we're happy on the outside, but inside there's something wrong, there's something hurting, there's a physical need, a spiritual need, there's something. And I just wonder, when we come, if we're just coming to, because that's what we're supposed to do, we're just coming to hear a quick sermon and check the box, sing a couple songs, or if we're coming saying, "God, I need you." I don't care if anybody else in the sanctuary this morning is desperate for you. I am. Lord, I'm desperate for you. I need you. Y'all, I can't explain why one person is healed, one person's not. I can't explain why when we pray for my uncle, he's making a miraculous recovery. I'm not even saying it was our prayers that did it. His wife was praying. There's people in Michigan praying. But I can't explain why he's healed, and others that we prayed for years and years and years, they're not. And I'm not saying that if you've not been healed that you're not desperate enough. But what I'm saying is, for my life in me, I'm questioning myself. How desperate am I for God? How desperate am I? Do I, when I come to church, am I like so desperate, God, that I know that if I just have a little touch of you this morning, that my life could be changed, that my life could be transformed, that this hurt, that this pain, that this garbage, that this sin, that this affliction, whatever it is, that you can transform it, that you can deliver me from it. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" So Jairus, his desperation just went to sorrow. There's no hope. Right? She's dead. There's no hope. His desperation that Jesus could do something now has gone to sorrow. She's gone. It's over. But ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brothers of James. when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion, the people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. You know, of course, are you crazy, Jesus? She's dead, and you're saying she's just asleep? We took her pulse. We checked. She's dead, and they laughed at him. You know what this makes me think of? Is us even now, that sometimes in our faith, in what we believe, what do people do? They laugh at you. They think it's not going to do any good. I know nobody from my class listens to these sermons, so I can speak freely here and nobody's ever going to hear it. But, you know, last night on our way to the reunion, we had a 10-year reunion, and then it was my 25-year reunion, and I'm really feeling old because we figured out that I graduated before Katie was born. So it's like, yeah, I'm feeling kind of old. But on the way to the reunion, I told Crystal, I said, you know what's, it's kind of sad. It's been 15 years since I've seen most of these people. And I said, you know, tonight we ought to just go ahead and plan a 30-year reunion and kind of, you know, get something going. And, but after we left, I said, the other 15 years would probably be all right with me. Because I've changed. I really didn't even... I enjoyed getting to see everybody and giving everybody a hug, but then when the story started and things started, I didn't enjoy it anymore because I'm not that person anymore. You know? I don't even have anything in common with them anymore. And, you know, I was talking about one of my classmates that I'd found out last night's a homosexual now, and I was talking to a lady about him, and she said, "Oh, is that the preacher coming out in you?" My heart aches. I'm not judging him. My heart aches because he's lost, you know? And it just makes me look at the world around me, and you know, nobody actually laughed at me last night, but the world is laughing at us because we're different now. We're not like everybody else. And they were laughing at Jesus. This girl isn't, she's not asleep, she's dead. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, and I'm not going to pronounce that, but it means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave her strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. The parents were desperate. They were desperate, and it didn't matter if everybody was laughing. It didn't matter what was going on. Jesus came through. And y'all, today, Jesus can come through in my life and in your life. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, it says, "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him without warning. A furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're going down.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" Can I tell you something? The disciples were in the middle of the storm. They were in the middle of this, and so was Jesus, but he wasn't shook by it. He was asleep. He was at rest. He was at peace. And can I tell you something? Even in our desperation, God can handle it. Our problems, our worries, our crisis, he can handle it. And he handled this. He got up, he rebuked the winds, he rebuked the rain, and the storm stopped. You know, it's sometimes in those storms that we can really find out who we are, where we are. And I believe many of us here, when we're in the middle of the storms, are crying out. Jump over to Matthew 14, verse 22. Familiar text. You guys will all know these stories. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went up on the mountainside by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is You," Peter replied, "tell me to come to You on the water." "Come," He said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Y'all, the reason why I wanted to read this story is because sometimes when we're listening to God, okay, and He tells us to come, and we come, okay, and I think sometimes we can get comfortable, and sometimes we can just be going along, living our life, and we can lose focus on Jesus. And Peter, he's listening. God says come. Jesus says come. So he comes. Peter got out of the boat. He took off walking. But verse 30 says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" See, if Jesus, or if Peter would have never took his eyes off Jesus, I don't think he would have sank. But what did he do? He started looking at the storms. He started looking at the circumstances. He started looking at what was going on around him. And y'all, sometimes in our lives, we begin to look at what's going on around us, and then our faith is shaken. And then we begin to sink. We begin to sink. I begin to sink sometimes. I do. And then what happened is he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. "You of little faith," He said, "why did you doubt?" So, being desperate for God, I guess what I'm trying to say here is being desperate for God is sometimes, or many times I think for us, is out of necessity. Because we're in a storm and we're sinking. The woman with the blood issue, she was desperate. She, many times I think our desperation for God is out of necessity because of the circumstances that's going on around us. But why wouldn't we, instead of letting the circumstances create in us a desperation for God, just begin to be desperate for God anyway? Does that make sense or not? See, many times the storms of life, the circumstances that we're in, those are the moments that we become desperate. "Oh God, help me. I've lost my job. Oh God, help me. I can't pay my bill. My child's sick. Everybody at work hates me. They're all laughing at me." Whatever it is, this sin keeps grabbing hold of me, and it's in those moments that all of a sudden we're desperate for God. But if Peter, I think, wouldn't have ever taken his eyes off of Jesus, and Jesus even said, "Why did you doubt?" and would have just remained focused. And I think that's where each of us as believers need to get this morning. And maybe even desperation's not the right word, but that's the only thing that I can come up with in my spirit this morning, is to just be so focused and desperate for Jesus every moment of every day, regardless of the circumstances. In Hebrews 13:5, He says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." What did He do? He immediately reached down and pulled Peter up. He didn't let him take on a little bit of water and then have to do CPR, have to bring him back to life. No, immediately He reached down. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart." And y'all, if we've ever been desperate for Jesus, I think that that sums it up, that when we seek Him, we will find Him. When we seek Him with all of our heart, with all of our heart, not just a moment here, not just a moment there, but when we begin to seek Him with all of our heart and we become so desperate that, God, I don't want to go through a day without You. I don't want to go through a day without hearing Your voice, without knowing that You're with me. You know, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. But I got to be honest with you. I want to see my wife every day. I really do. And I want to see my kids every day. Is there days that I don't see them? My kids, yeah. There's been times that I've had to go out of town for business or different things, you know, and I've had to leave Crystal at home before and I don't get to see her. That's part of life, but my desire is to be with my family every day. You know what? I kind of like all y'all too. I like hanging out with y'all. And after being at my 25-year class reunion, I appreciate all y'all a whole lot more. You know, I really do. I like being with y'all. And I don't even like, you know, when we're out of town on vacation and stuff, I miss everybody. I really do. So why aren't we that way with God? It's almost like, I'll visit you on Sunday, God. Sometimes, if you're lucky, God, I'll even come Sunday night. And if you're really lucky, I'll see you on Wednesday. And I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. This isn't the meeting place with God necessarily. You know, you can be at home, but many people categorize it as church is where God's at. But you know what? You can meet Him at home in your bedroom, in your living room, sitting in your chair, opening up your Bible. It's hanging out with Him, and it's seeking Him with all of your heart. And then you will find Him. In church, if we could just get to that place of desperation. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful deserts, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today." Maybe y'all don't need those verses, but I needed those verses because I've got to be honest with you. When I got the text Monday that my uncle had was coming out of it, and I was eating at a gas station in Charleston, and tears began to well up in my eyes, and I just began to praise God. I couldn't believe it. But then I gotta be honest, the rest of the week I had trouble. I usually listen to sermons on the radio. I usually read devotionals at lunch, and I found myself more interested in listening to the politics. I found myself more interested in listening to what was happening in the NFL. And I found myself going to those channels instead of the Christian channels. And I found myself at lunch barely getting into a devotional. And then I didn't want to read it. I'd go on to the news, and then I'd pollute my mind with crap of the world that I didn't need, and the garbage, and y'all, I went from praising God on Monday, thank you, Lord, for the miracle, to I'm full. I'm full. I'm good. Everything's good. Does that make sense to anybody this morning? I went from an ecstatic high of how great thou art to, okay, I'm good. I can make it through the week. And then Friday I'm sitting there blank. I have nothing. Lord, then all at once I'm desperate again because I got to stand up here and preach. Shame on me. I'm not pointing fingers at y'all this morning. Shame on me. Because I need to fight through that. And I need to maintain that relationship with my Heavenly Father even when I don't feel like it. I have a great wife and a great marriage. But there's days that I'm not very happy with her and she's not very happy with me and we're just kind of there. I mean, not necessarily a knockdown drag out or anything like that, but we're just kind of there. And then there's other days that there's so much love that you just feel like you're going to explode. But you know what? I'm not on those days that we're grouchy with each other, we're not having a good night. We both worked and we're just in. I'm not packing my bags and leaving. You know? I'm not out looking for another date to get me excited. No, but I'm married and I love my wife and I don't want anybody else in this entire world. But y'all, what Satan is always trying to do with us in our relationship with our Heavenly Father is distract us and pull us away and cause us to desire other things where that relationship gets put on the back burner and even to the point to where it may not even matter that much until we hit a point of desperation. He warned His people, when you eat and you're satisfied, when life is good, be careful. So my message to you this morning, we're quitting. Is just good times. Let's desire and long to be desperate for God's voice. Bad times. It's easy in bad times, right? God help, 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 help. But just every day, if we maintain that relationship with our Heavenly Father, Lord, if I don't hear from You today. His disciples, and I should have looked it up, but His disciples, when the crowds were leaving and everybody was going away, and Jesus looked at His disciples and said, are you not leaving too? And they said, where else can we go? Where else? They weren't leaving Him. Where else can we turn? And y'all, that's the heart and desire that I want for myself. God, I don't want to turn to my television. I don't want to turn to my sports. I don't want to turn to even my wife or my kids to bring me joy. Father, I want to turn to You and only You, and then everything else will fall into place. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I once again ask for Your forgiveness for my idleness, for my laziness. Lord, for giving in to the sin of this world and following other things to satisfy. Dear Lord, I pray that each and every one of us this morning would be desperate for You, whether it's out of necessity, of a sickness, of a disease, of a hurt, of a pain, or Lord, if our lives are great, at this moment, Lord, may we still be desperate for You. To hear Your voice, to know Your voice, may we seek You with all of our heart and find You this morning. May it be every one of our heart's prayers to meet with You this morning, to just have a touch from You this morning. Father, have Your way now. In every heart and every life in this room, have Thine way. In Jesus' mighty name. How many of you like cleaning your house? So, how many of you, though, when you don't feel like cleaning, but you go ahead and you make yourself clean the house, how do you feel when it's done? I remember Andy and Mayberry were Opie's having to do something, and then Andy says to him, said, "Well, Opie, doesn't that make you feel good?" And he's like, "Yeah, good and tired, but you know, but I know there's times that I don't feel like mowing, I don't feel like cleaning, and I have to make myself get up and do it. But after I get going and I'm seeing results, and when I'm done, I feel so good, and I'm glad it's over, and I'm glad the house is clean, or I'm glad the yard's cut, or whatever. You get that good feeling. But sometimes I have to make myself do that. And y'all, sometimes with God, it should be this way. Sometimes you just got to make yourself open up your Bible. You just got to make yourself pray. And I guarantee you, if you'll fight through those emotions and you'll say, "I'm going to read no matter what. I'm going to pray no matter what. Lord, I'm going to listen to You no matter what. I'm not going to be distracted by anything else." The feeling that you're going to have is going to be way better than a clean house or a fresh cut yard. God will be there to guide us and to see us through even when you don't feel like it. You fight through and you seek Him. Be desperate for Him. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Tim, thank you for doing the thing. If y'all remember, Amanda and Dina and Ruthie and your prayers, they're flying home from Hawaii tonight. And so they're flying in tonight. So if you think about them, remember them in your prayers, and have a blessed afternoon.